Hello, everybody out there in the internet. Welcome to Aimless Babble Z, episode 416. I'm Chris Adams, Ticket Master, joined by
RPG Maniac 05
and Trioptical.
So, yeah, we've got so much from playing, some game industry, who's on the rise, who's on the fall, and the news.
I have no idea how this question is going to go. This is wonderful.
Getting aimless with it this week.
Yeah. So, not as aimless as we could have made it, as I revealed in the pre-show. But, yeah.
We were going to get weird with it.
So, yeah, I've been playing over the weekend Devil May Cry 5. And, I'm sorry, let me say that again. Devil May Cry 5. Because that's how good that game is. It just whispers in your ear. And then it gets you. And you're like, ooh, I'm being seduced. I like this. And then you start playing it. And you're like, oh, this is so good. Keep playing. Oh, Nero, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, V.
Did we play the same game? Because I don't think we played the same game.
Because it just feels so good. It feels so good when you're just playing the game and the buttons and the combos and the action and the cutscenes and the story and the soundtrack. It all comes together. It's a complete package. It's so delicious. It's just like Devil May Cry 5. And just it's a marvelous, majestic piece of gaming. Everybody needs to play it. Especially if you're a fan. If you're a fan, oh my gosh. Oh my god. Oh my gosh. Because I played Devil May Cry 4 and I finished it before this came out, like the day before. Whew. And like after that ride I had of like revisiting the old games, coming to this. I mean, I didn't play DMC, but I remember. Just that
doesn't technically that, count as part of the main series.
I'm not saying it's part of the main series. I'm just saying it was like another interpretation of the series. And then I played that and I had the whole thing on the podcast. I was like, oh man, dude, it's DMC. Devil May Cry 5. Oh my gosh. Though it's just like, yeah, it's. It has come in and reestablished itself to be like, we are here. This is our throne. Nobody's coming in and taking it. And if you do, good luck, because we were such an awesome experience. La, la, la. And just, man, I mean, I used to say, you know, best 3D action game, Batman Arkham Origins. It's like Devil May Cry 5 was like Akuma, like raging demoning in Bison on like the final stage when you fight him in Street Fighter 2 or whatever, Super Street Fighter 2, or like whatever that like secret ending fight, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like that happening, that's what happened. It just blew my mind. I was just like, of just all the just fluidy deliciousness, ridiculousness of over the top, over 9,000. You get to go Super Saiyan in this game. It was amazing. I was like, oh my gosh, I went Super Saiyan. I was just, and just.
Super Saiyan. Oh my goodness. Spoilers, Tekken. Spoilers for those of us who haven't finished the game.
Oh, okay. Well, I won't even talk about the last three missions because, man. M-A-N. So good. It was so good. It was so good. It basically is like, you know, very similar to three, where they give you a bunch of toys and, you know, tools in your toolbox, and you're just going to town on the bad guys and doing the thing. But then it's like you get three protagonists and they all play differently. It's just like, ow! And then like the music kicks in, it's like, ah! And then the cutscenes, it's just like, ow! And then, costume design, ow! And just everything is delicious and just amazing and just fun. And just, I have not played a game and then like started a new game up, like, in my most recent memory of like as soon as I did with this game, and like it's been such a long time. I'm just like, I had such a fun time going down that slide. And I was like, wee! And then I got off the slide. And I was like, let me climb up again, wee! And like started my. I mean, it's not like you know, getting on the slide and just going down, 'cause, you know, gotta play through it. But you know, I'm on my second time down the slide, and it's, yeah, just as fun as it was the first time. And yeah, after looking into the controls of like, I kept doing something the wrong way. So I was like, why am I keep doing this the wrong way? And I like, had to go to the, you know, the void to like, be like, what does this button do? Or like, what is this input command? Cause in the last games, I'm pretty sure it was like, not that, but now it's this. And it's like, okay, that's what was throwing me off. Cause I kept doing something. I was like, this is not doing this. Why isn't this doing this? But after I got over that hump, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Just, and then there's like this cool thing where it's like, I mean, it doesn't have co-op. There's like this whole thing, and like before the game came out, like everyone's like, "Does it have co-op? Has co-op? Oh, co-op, co-op, co-op." But it's like basically just you go into the scenarios, but like people show up in your game. They don't literally show up, but like they're there in like a part with like branching paths, or like where you can pick a one character, or like one of the two, or one of the three. And then, like, you know, they're doing their thing, you're doing their thing, and like their ranking shows up, and it's like, oh, they've got style. Well, maybe I can be outstyling them. Ooh, and it's like a whole like, I mean, it really isn't anything except to like give them like, you know, kudos after the fact of like, oh, they had style, or they were stylish. I mean, or you could be a jerk and like not do that, and then whatever. So,
wait, when you say other people show up, like other characters or other human people,
other users. Basically.
Ah.
Okay. Sorry. I had to step away for a second. What was he talking about now?
I was talking about the fact when like you're playing and then like someone's name pops up and it's like,
oh, you know, yeah, your... that means that person's playing the mission as the other character.
Yeah. Mm. And it just like shows their stylish rank if they get the S rank or higher. And it's like, oh, they've got style.
But if no one is available, then the Capcom crew steps in.
Yeah, it's just the AI playing in that case. So I thought that's pretty cool, or a neat way to do it's like a passive co-op in a single player game.
Although it would have been cool if it would have been like co-op for some of the stuff, and like you had, I mean, I guess it was that one mission, but it's like it would have been cool if there was like more missions where it's like, oh, somebody's controlling this guy while I'm fighting with this other character.
Is this sort of like, you know, Resident Evil 6 had that thing where the bosses, yeah, and it would be like, yeah, two teams?
Pretty much like that, where you don't actually interact with the person that you're playing with.
Ah.
But they are there. But there's no, like, matchmaking screen that you get stuck at before you go to it, in the, like in that game.
Yeah, it just auto kind of matchmakes while, yeah, you're, like, in the middle of the... So sometimes it'll switch... between multiple players, because I guess if somebody gets dropped or stops playing or whatever, it'll just switch over to someone else. So it doesn't like, so they can still continue doing whatever it is they're doing and getting their rankings and stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah, I gotta say, since I had like not played in such a long time, besides when DMC came out, I was like, oh man, I'm looking forward to the next game from Ninja there, which probably isn't going to happen. Oh, well, whatever. It's like, I'm not that much bummed out because it
should be.
5 was so good. And it's like, I mean, Ninja 3 might make a game like this anyway, since, you know, Microsoft bought them. And it's like, make us a Devil May Cry. Yeah. You've been contracted.
Because if the next DMC was like Xbox exclusive, I would cry because it'll get canceled and then it'll never play for real.
But like, you know, in a world where it kind of seems very similar to like what happened with Resident Evil 2, dude. It's like it came out, it's like, man, I haven't played the game like this in a long time. Or it's like, you know, there are a lot of action games, but there are not a lot of stylish and like fluid combat action games, like, you know, Nier or Platinum stuff, where it's like, you know, they are of that caliber of just like that quality. They hit that mark, you know. It's like there's so many, but very few like come close to like where DMC 5 is at. And just like, it was so good. It's such a fun ride.
Play a lot of action games, but it's just not the same. It's just not the same.
Also, there's, man. You got through the Clive Foth, the tree, right? RPG, I saw your trophy, right? Like, you got through that part.
Stop watching my trophies, stalker.
Well, it was. It showed up in my thingy when I logged on.
Yes, I think so. Well, at least the first part of it. I'm on mission like 12 or something now.
12.
This is after Dante gets his new sword and that whole boss fight after that thing. That.
Okay, I was trying to think like how far you are, because there's a lot of cool stuff that's like still to come. So it's like, I guess I'm not going to talk about it, but there's...
I just got the Michael Jackson hat.
Okay, that was, man, that part was amazing. That part was just like, this game does like the really cool thing where it's just like, you know, because there is so many games in the series, it like has a lot of like Easter eggs or like callbacks where it's like Dante will like be going through and be like, oh, this reminds me of Mullet Island or whatever it's called in the first game, or just like funny stuff or neat stuff. But like besides that, it's like Mullet it's built Island. Up so much. And then like when you're playing through this one and like stuff goes down and then like there's like gameplay involved with like the story stuff, and it's just like it's so well intertwined of like what a video game could be if it just like hit the marks all the time. It's just like it's so perfect. It's just like just delicious. And then like it's really cool what they did with V, who is basically a basically completely different fighting style than Dante and Nero, where he uses demons to fight for him and he is himself weak. I thought that was like super awesome just because it's just very Japanesey and anime-esque.
I never choose like... him whenever I choose your character. I just can't with him in these familiars. I just can't.
I just thought that was so cool because it's like, you know, instead of like just being like the dude that's like super badass like Dante or just like has all the power, he's just like the dude that like just like stays back and like lets other things fight for him, but like, he has to finish them off himself. So I thought that was pretty. I thought that was very brilliant. The way they did that.
Sometimes I kept forgetting to do that because I was like, oh right, they don't just die like with the other two. So I always keep forgetting to finish them off, and then I'll just see them like they're like faded bodies just kind of like around. I was like, all right, I need to kill all of you, and then I'd have to like go through and like rapid fire finish everything off, and it's like, gotta remember to do that. Because you have to do it for the bosses too. So it's like, all right, I am going to get murdered. I'm going to get murdered one day.
And it's really cool that they gave Nero the Devil Breaker for his arm, and then like each prosthetic has a different property. So you start off with like the one that gives like the electric blastingy, but then eventually you just like pick them up as you're going through the stages, and like they can break when you're using them, or you can like break them if you want to just to, like get more power from like your next attack or whatever. And so it's kind of just like a roulette of like what weapon am I going to be able, or what ability am I going to have right now? And then
that one's interesting because it's like you can't actually like cycle through them.
Yeah.
You have to like if you want to use the next one, you have to break your previous arm. So it's like you kind of have to think about the magazine you're taking in with you. And then it's like, because you can probably go through the whole mission without ever like using a different arm because you don't want to break the arm you're using. And it's like, well, you have all these other arms, and it's like, Some of them are more useful in situations than others, and because like each of them has their own special ability and each of them has their own super attack and everything too. So it's like it's cool, but at the same time it's like, how am I going to set this up before I go in? Because I like this arm, but if I break it, then I won't have access to it for the rest of this mission unless I get to call Nico in. And it's like, how do I do this?
That's also a cool thing is like there's basically end of times things are going down, and it's like, you know, no cell phone coverage, let's just say that. And so like you just happen to stumble upon the phone to like call in Nico, your pal who makes your arms. And it's like every time she comes in, it's like, oh, how is she gonna make an entrance this time? And it's a whole thing. And it's
a fun nice gag.
Yeah, it's a nice treat to watch every time and be like, oh, how's the van going to get it this time? Oh, that's another thing is like, dude, I already said like, and it's like, and over also 9,000. Each
of the characters kind of reacts to her entrances differently too. Because I mean, usually V like knocks the van around with his familiars, and then the other two are usually doing something or rather before she just pops in through the tree. So, or pops in through wherever the mall or wherever they are or wherever he is at the time. So it's pretty funny.
Yep, pretty funny and great, and I enjoyed it. It was a fun time, fun ride, and I'm going to be playing this over and over again for sure. What else do I want to add before I move on to the next game? Can't think of anything, but man, just if you're a fan of the series, definitely check it out. Definitely worth it. It's great. I don't really know what else to say, but it's like you'll be entertained. You'll be have a lot of
you cry, do a dance.
I will wait for the other things to say because RPG hasn't finished it. But there's a lot of cool stuff that happens, and like the way that they have the story structured, and like the way that you play through the game with your characters. And it was like neat because like basically when you start the game, like there's like a big bad, and then like you end up fighting that big bad with other characters. Well, no, I guess yeah.
Well, yeah, because you fight him with each of them at different points.
Yeah.
The story. I mean, even though it's technically the same point in the story, but it jumps around.
Yeah, that's the other thing is like it's kind of like Resident Evil 6, where like you have a timeline and like it switches between the characters through that timeline, and it's like this date, this time. And, like it just goes back and forth through this like thing with the tree, and like you get back to this dude, or this who's just like sitting in a chair. And it's like, what's going on here? So you just like keep getting back to that. You're like, what's going on? Until you finally like get to the point. Like, oh, okay. But it's very satisfying, and just like, and like the way they did that, I thought that was really neat. Of like, okay, I fight this guy again. He kicks the crap out of me. It's like a JRPG, and like you can't beat the boss, and like you're not supposed to because he's like super powerful. And so that happens like quite a few times. And I was like, dude, like towards the end, I was like, okay, am I finally gonna be able to like kill this person? Because this is really getting on my nerves now.
But semi, I mean, you can technically beat his sit down form. It's just a matter of not being able to beat him once he gets up until later.
But yeah, that's
you just have to be really good at dodging things.
That was neat the way they did that. Of like, oh, we come back to this part. It's like, you know, you get to that, you see, like, or like the part where it starts off at the beginning is like not the beginning because there's stuff that happens before that, and it's like, oh, okay. But then like once you bounce around with different characters, you're like, you see how you got to that point.
It's true.
It's yeah. Like, oh, I see.
It's like how we got here.
That was really neat. I thoroughly enjoyed that. The whole
because it is a little confusing sometimes because of the way they do that, because it does jump around a lot, but.
So, yeah, it's not as bad as 4 of having to go through the entire game again with a different character.
Yes, oh, thank goodness. Yeah,
it's a much, yes. Much better fix than that. I'm like, hey, guess what? Now you do the same thing with Dante. Like, no thanks. Much preferred to this one.
Yeah, because at least with the jump around, it's like just the missions with the different characters, you're not just like... Okay, you beat the game with him. Now do it again with him. Now you beat it with him. Now do it again with the other him. It's like, oh, right. There is 3 of you. Wonderful. So, yeah. There's that.
But yeah, it's just, you get like so many, weapons and like, you know, guns and weapon and devil arms with Dante, it's ridiculous. Or just like, it kept, like, you keep getting them, and just like, dude, it just rains weapons. It's like, oh my gosh, like, so many ways to kill things. It's amazing. It's just like, oh, I love this game.
Well, that's good. I like having new ways to kill things.
And then, Nier's got all the fun stuff too going on. And like we said, the demons. That was great. The familiars. I thought that was very interesting the way they did that, but yeah, the
devil makers are like I do enjoy them, although I tend to stick to like certain ones now that I have a decent array of them, but I always like use the tomboy or which one's the time one, the ragtime.
Yeah, that one's awesome. See, I didn't, like, until, like, the latter half, I wasn't really, like, messing with them of, like, pushing circle of, like, because I was kind of confused on the tutorial because that's everything. It's, like, you get, like, so much information in this game. It's, like, you know, dude, this does this, and there's just, like, kind of so much. I was, like, whoa, this is a lot every now and then. But then I was, like, just doing my normal DMC things. I wasn't really, like, doing any, like, the new stuff until, like, later on. I was, like, okay, well, how do I do this? How do I do that? But then, like, it kept adding on, and I was, like, okay, well, I'll just come back to this, whatever. But, like, yeah, that just... There's a lot to play with, and it's all fun. And it's like, oh man, that was great.
Although one of the things I wish they would have done is put like the encyclopedia and stuff inside of the main game instead of having to go to the main menu to read that stuff. Because I was looking for like the enemy encyclopedia and stuff, and then I didn't realize it was like, oh, you have to back out to read that stuff. I'm like, oh, that's...
What? what does the enemy encyclopedia do? Does it just tell you like their weaknesses and patterns and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it also has like the character bios and all that stuff out there too. So it's like,
I was looking at it after I finished the game, but I just didn't like know what the enemy stuff was because I didn't look at that stuff. I just looked at like the character bios and like locations and all the neat stuff of the story.
Yeah, I wish I would have had that. They would have put that like in the main part of the game, so I don't have to like back out to read anything. Because I didn't realize the Morrison guy, his letters were outside too. So that was fun to find out because I didn't read any of them, and I guess they're like semi important because they tell you stuff, but I guess they're not that important because they didn't bother to show them to you until you get back out. So I mean, yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed this game, and I would definitely recommend it. And if you're a fan, totally recommend it. Like play it right now. Like, you should drop whatever you're playing and play it now, because you will not be disappointed. It looks amazing. That's another thing. It's just like when I booted it up, it was like looking at it and just like, oh, Devil May Cry again. Yes. Devil May Cry.
Quit your job. Get rid of your family. go do it right now.
I guess also if I didn't play the demo, because, man, I don't know if the opening cutscene's in the demo, but that was awesome.
When that part just... is in the demo, but it is expanded in the main game, so all the stuff that's in the demo is in the main game, but there's a lot more to that first level than was in the demo. The demo was a lie.
Yeah, the demo is really short. I finally checked it out.
So yeah, besides Devil May Cry 5, which is another amazing game after another amazing game from Capcom, what else did I play this week? I mean, I played some GT Grand Theft Auto Sport, but it wasn't anything besides daily races. Played some Monster Hunter World, but it's just like the weekly hunts for the eggs, or the tickets and the eggs, which is basically the Wyvarian Prince, which gets you things with the Elder Melder, and then the eggs, which you can sell because they're worth a zinni, like 10,000, 5,000 or something. So, you know, I mean, not that much, but like over time, obviously, it adds up.
Wait, was there an event?
No, just the weekly limited bounties.
Oh.
The weekly hunts that they have for rewards, eggs and money. Money, or not eggs and money.
Boy, money.
Prince and money. I mean, that being said, they did cycle through the Tempered Elder Dragon. So last week it was Arch Tempered Kirin, which I was able to finally destroy with my Light Bowgun build. And then this week it was Valhazak, which I didn't have any. I haven't had trouble with him because he's my main farm for stuff when I need to farm stuff, because that's like the one that would kick the crap. Basically, he just like kicked the crap out of me for like a long time, and I got good at him. So yeah, it's like I got his number. Yeah.
What is it?
And now he's my favorite. On his phone. Not. Phone number, but you just, you know, I got him. That. Besides that, okay. So I was playing. Okay, so I had this. Okay, so I had this, like, not exactly a problem, but like a, like only weird people like me have this problem. So essentially, since I just finished Devil May Cry, and then like, you know, I blew through Ace Combat and also Resident Evil. It's like, you know, I was kind of hoping these new release games I've got would like last me longer than they did, but then I forgot, you know, with the crack out that I have, the problem that I have, I could get through games so fast, and like, you know, they don't sustain me. And then I was like, well, I guess I'm going back to Destiny, but like, I was like, no, I don't want to go back. So I was like, okay, well, the problem is next new release game is Sekiro coming out next week, and it's not next week yet.
Sekiro!
I've got all these old games, I don't know what to play. And it's like, I don't want to go back to Disney, so I guess I'll just play some old game. And I was like, well, I don't know what to play. And I was like, looking at my games, I was like, well, play some Tekken. And I was like, oh. And so, you know, I don't have enough time between now and then. I mean, I maybe do, but it's like, I'm not going to like go super hard to like play some JRPG between like now and then to like get through. It's like not happening. So I was like, okay, that's off the list. I was like, and I was like, okay, it's almost time to podcast. So I need to play something I can play for a couple hours. So it's like anything else that's like kind of lengthy, which is like most games kind of off the list. It's like, dang it, Chris. Like, why did you just shoot yourself in the foot with that one? So I was like, okay, well, what can I play for like a couple hours and like be somewhat satisfied or just check out to see like how it is? And I was like, well, I have NBA Playgrounds on here. I've always wanted to play that and see how it is. And then I finally played it and it's not that bad. It's the shooting mechanic is pretty terrible. That aside, you know, if you can get over that hump, it's it's an interesting take on arcade basketball. Not the same as NBA Jam. I would say arguably not as good. The mechanics are kind of eh, and like the controls, like they just throw you to the sharks, man. There's like one mode where it's like exhibition where like you can learn the controls and it's like it goes by so fast. It's like, wait, what? How do we alley-oops? Wait, what? And then like it never tells you like the, you know, and there's like, you know, more stuff going on than like just like the whole do this to do this or push this to do this. It's like, oh, well, you only have enough turbo to like shove someone like maybe like once per possession, maybe twice. Okay, not like once or twice, but like a couple of times because there's a shot clock and it's like, eh. And then like you slowly unlock all your different abilities when you get your bar filled, which I don't even know what it's called because it's, you know, it just went in one ear out the other, whatever. The whole, whenever you're scoring or like stealing or doing cool stuff, you have a bar that fills. It's, and then like once it fills, you get an ability for your team, and the in it like in like depending on how many you've unlocked will be like what it is. Like one of them is just like you get I guess you get what's it, it's like your I guess lottery pick or something is what it's called, and like you basically get like that's what the thing's called. And like one of them is like you get like a instant, or not instant shot, but like you don't miss, I think. I don't know, because like your little bar that like is if you miss or don't miss, that you like try to get in the green zone to aim, which is how you shoot in the game. There's like a thing. It's weird, man. It's like no other game have I played that's like a basketball game that has this thing where it's like you go to shoot and there's like a little bar and like there's a green zone in the bar and like you want to get in the green zone to not miss. But then it's kind of annoying because like when I'm looking at that, I can't see like the person that's like trying to block my shot. So it's like I will just shoot and then like hope it doesn't get blocked and like goes in. Mm-hmm. And like even, but then the thing is like even if it's in the green, it doesn't always go in. So it's like, well, clearly there's like some issue here, which is why I'm like, okay, there's kind of some issue with the shooting. But it's not like it doesn't break the game, I guess I'm saying. But because even like when you're, that's the other thing is like when you're dunking and doing layups, it can like be in the green zone and like you'll still miss. And it's like, it's very infuriating. That being said, it's like I was just also like when you unlock characters, it's like totally RNG. It's like you basically get these packs of cards every time you level up. And so you open one up and it has like, I believe, 6 players in it. And so I was just going along, because I was like, I have no idea who's... Like, you basically get a couple when you start the game up. And then I was... I think it was, like, Sean Kemp and Dwight Howard. And then I just played with them until I got some, like, even better cards, because some of them are marked, like, Epic or Legend. And so I got Dwayne Wade and Steve Nash. So I was, like, started... which is, like, they're two, like, guards, and they're not very tall. So I was, like, not, you know, the best matchup with, like, taller teams that can just, like, dunk all over me. But I was, like, whatever, dude. Like, they're... stats are good, and it's like rare cards, so they, you know, they're awesome. And so basically, like, and then like each time you play, you like I said, you like get a level thingy where like you can like level up to get like cards unlocked, but then you also level up your players that you're using, and they get like more skills and abilities, which I don't know how that works, because like once I max them out, like the little thingy that like tells you like went by so fast on the bottom of the screen, I was like, wait, what? And then I didn't know what it said, so I was like, whatever, dude. And then it's not like you have like a bunch of like stuff in the menu of like do this special move. It's just the same controls. You just have more, there's like more stuff that like will randomly happen. Cause like I did this thing with like Steve Nash where I was like running with the turbo button and then like I shot, but it did like some special animation thingy. And then like also apparently if you shoot a shot and you make it, oh, that's the other thing that's weird in this game is like the scoring system is like bananas. Cause it's like the first person that scores gets like a +1. So if you shoot a 3 and like it's 0-0, you shoot a 3 and you make it, it's like 4-0 because you get a +1. So it's like, what the F? And then like also, if it's just like normal play before that first shot, or like after the first shot and you get like the +1, you can get like a perfect shot if you time it right or something, and you get a +1 on top of that. So it's like you can get more points than whatever it is you should be getting. It's just super weird. And like one time I was playing and like the computer opponent, the AI opponent basically scored on me, and they did this like alley-oop thingy, and it was like they're on fire, or they had the thing where it's like their lottery pick bar was filled, and they did this like alley-oop double dunk whatever garbage, and they got like 5 points. I was like, what the F? Like, I'd never seen that before, and it's like perfect shot on your that thing, and I was like, whatever. But basically, before the podcast, I just spent the time playing through the tournaments, and I got to London. Yeah, because you start out with just New York, I think, and then it goes from New York to Japan, Japan to Shanghai or somewhere in China, and then to France, and then London. And I'm in London right now. So basically, each tournament is like four matches. You start out with the, I think it's like 16th, 8th, 4th, and 1. So it's just like 16th place, 8th place, 4th place, 1st place. You can just like play them all in a row. You don't have to like go back to the menu each time. But each time you play, if you're like a low level, you'll get like a level up. So you probably like want to go back and open up your cards. But basically, I would just keep stacking my open up cards and like just play through a tournament. And then I was like doing good enough where I'd like win every time. So I was like, whatever, I'll just go through the tournament and then like open them up after the tournament. But I didn't get any. Well, I guess I did get Shaq. I got a Shaq card, so that was cool. But since I like was max level with my Steve Nash and Dwayne Wade, I was like, well, they're both short, but I keep winning. So clearly the universe is like smiling upon me since I'm short myself and being like, see, Tekken, you don't need tall people to be successful. This is just an analogy to life that we're trying to tell you. Everything's cool. And then, so yeah, I just kept going on and winning with those two. And it was a fun time. And I was like, yeah, this is the heavy metal. What's the name of that baseball game? Heavy metal baseball. Wow. I can't even remember now, but like that basically of the baseball or basketball variety. And I can just jump in and play it whenever and just unlock stuff. And then, oh, actually there's a second one out that came out. Or Super Mega Baseball, that one, jeez. I was like, what's the name of the game? Super Mega Baseball.
Oh, that's not the same thing. I was like, I've never heard of this game you're talking about.
Well, saying that like made me think of a game I did totally when I just said that. But yeah, that was a fun time. I think I'll just go through and like beat all the tournaments because there's a trophy for that. I'm not sure what you get, but like maybe the credits will roll. So I'm like, okay, done with that one, and on to the next one. Because apparently there's a second one that I have in my download queue. I haven't downloaded it, so I can just play that one. Hopefully it's better, and then I will see, because this was not that bad. Actually, it was a bit frustrating just because of the, you know, you'll be like, oh, it's in the green zone, why did I miss, you know, just stupid stuff like that where it's just like this game cheats. Yeah, so yeah. But besides that, I thought it was a neat take on the 2v2 arcade style, and I never got to play the NBA Jam that was most recent, so it was a nice throwback to that. And like, you know, not quite the same. There's also some like, you know, like the abilities that you have is that like one is like their shot clock runs down really fast. You get infinite turbo for one. You get like double score on any of your dunks, which is cool because you get like basically 4 points per dunk, which is crazy. And like some of them are time based, and some of them are just like use them once, like the fire shot that goes in. That's like a one shot. The rest of them are like, you get them for like 20 seconds, but it's not just when you have the ball, it's when the opponent has the ball, so they could just like run it down, and then, you know, you'd run out of yours, which kind of sucks. But yeah, it's a neat little stat, like a defensive style to like, you know, burn down their power up if they have one, if you wanted to do that. Didn't get to play any online because I'm not sure if anybody's still playing this, because I went to like quick play and then like I didn't join any of the games, so I was like, whatever, I'll just come back to this, but I'm not going to, so whatever. So the second one, I'm sure we moved on to that one. But yeah, NBA Playgrounds was a nice little break from all the grindy, serious single-player games I've been playing. Or I guess grindy or serious, because the only grindy game that I've been playing is Destiny, and I haven't played that for like a month, which is yay for me. So yeah.
Yay.
Besides that, Titanfall 2. I played that yesterday because, okay, the funny story here why I didn't play Destiny is I had finished, I think I just didn't, no, I didn't, had just finished Devil May Cry. Oh, I just finished Titanfall 2. And then I was like, okay, oh, I see Gamer and Zafro and Hope were in a party, and I jumped into their party and I just basically like heard them lamenting the whole Destiny blah, 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 blah. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going back to Destiny because it's the same old, same old. So I was able to wean myself off by getting their fumes and being like, what's in the air, Tekken? What's in the air? Smells like unhappiness. Smells like Destiny. Smells like the same old garbage. Switch. So I was like, you know what? F that game. And I was like, yeah, let's go play something else. And I did. I think I'm going to go watch a documentary or something at that point. But yeah, anyway. I was tired. I've been sick for a week. But carrying on, what else I've been playing Time Ball 2? So this game, I was like, campaign's amazing. Campaign's amazing. It's a great game. It's a great game. The story. I was like, dude, there's no effing way. And I played it. I got to say, backloaded, because the first like hour or the first like couple missions kind of slow. It like I was like, you know, from what I had heard, I was expecting like amazing from beginning to end, never lets up, amazing roller coaster ride of action explosions and robot sexiness, blah, blah, blah. And what? So action explosions and robot sexiness RPG, because you get to be a titan. Okay, mech sexiness, whatever. Anyway, you're gonna be so technical. That being said,
yeah, we are.
That being said, when you finally get into the Titan, oh my gosh, that was amazing. That was like, it's so good though, because it's such like a contrast from like the usual robot sexy actionist that I've been like accustomed to. With like, I mean, there's not very many, but you know, it's on the Enders. You know, it's like that's a high bar, and like, coming from that to this, it's like completely different. And it's like some first person, like it felt very like slow and bulky and like just very like the BattleTech style, versus like the whole like cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, like super speedy Gundam, you know, you have giant jetpacks on your back, you're just going like Mach 1000. Okay, that's probably not how fast you're going. That's like way too fast. You die. Like Mach, however they're going, and like just super crazy action, speed through the air, cha 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 cha, like beam sabers, and just yeah. It was just such a contrast, and just like so cool, because like it just like, you know, you felt it, just like, oh, it's just like I'm in the heavy mech, and I got these powers or abilities, rather, not powers. You're not. Yeah, that'd be weird. I've got these abilities. Each mech has, and there's these different loadouts every time you get one, and it like does different things. Oh my gosh, it was cool, man. This game, it's as good as people say. I will say that. It's like, I was expecting more. It did not over deliver what I thought it would be. It did not under deliver what I thought it'd be. It delivered what I thought. Cause like at first I was like, whatever, dude, this game ain't nothing. It's like, nah, 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 cause it felt very Call of Duty, cause it is by Respawn. But to that regard, it was very smooth. And it was like, you know, it had those action sequences and like the set pieces, and just like the stuff that they've added, you know, or like that was like kind of somewhat controversial with you know, Titanfall, when they added like all the double jumping and like the boosting, the traversal, that, yeah, that felt really cool, just to like go through levels with your double jumps and your flipping, boosting and wall running, and just like it felt to me very, it was like, it felt like a throwback to Metroid Prime, when like you get all those super awesome abilities towards the end, when like you have like Samus just doing her thing and like double jumping. I mean, you can't morph ball in this game, so whatever, but
I mean
but then it's cool, because like, you know, when you're not in your mech, it BT is his name. It's an AI, so it's not like, you know, just like it's just some suit. It's like, no, it's like an AI. It's kind of like in Andromeda, the Sam, you know, it's like Sam. It's like, you know, you're a team. You're not just like just you and like some robot or like some machine. It's like, nah, man, it's like you and BT and stuff's going down. And like when you're not in him, he's like, oh, that's the other thing, I guess. Like you get like this neural link. So it's like he's in your brain. Okay. I guess he would be in your brain if like it's a neural link, but in your mind and stuff's going down, it's like, you know, he can talk to you instantaneously as like stuff's going down, and it's just like you're outside your mech, and he's like suppressing fire or like whatever, and it's like you're doing your thing. It's like this whole like asynchronous, like, you know, teamwork co-op buddy buddy thing. I thought it was genius and brilliant. Just like, I very much enjoyed this game. Like it was good, and like, you know, I guess I'd like seen so many people gush all over. I was expecting like, you know, the next best thing ever. Kind of, it was very close. It was very close, but like, you know, that first, however long before like he gets really good, it was just like kind of I'm just like sitting here waiting for like, okay, when's it get good? When's it get good? And then once it picks up, it does not stop. It is just a, you know, to you know, use the analogy I used earlier, the roller coaster of just like you're on it and then like it doesn't let up. It's just like you get this sweet time power thing. It's okay. That being said, when that happened, I was like, this game is like out of control, because it's like it completely went into like zany fanciful town of like I cannot take this seriously at all, and like, you know, kind of disqualifies it from a lot of things I would like it to, like I did not know it would do this, and now it has done this thing, and therefore it cannot do these things, because that's like one of my things on my list of my you know, Tekken's, you know, the three kisses of death. It's like don't do that, don't do the whole like levy-devy, oh, romance, oh, and then don't do shapeshifters. Oh,
romance,
you know,
is important.
Character development. At least for movies, anyway. Like, you do those three things to me, and like a movie is just like, you know. I mean, that being said, some things can pull it off, some things can't. But like, you know, if you pull it off, which they did, and that was like some like really awesome mechanics that they have at the time too. It was just like, like you're jumping through time. Like there's like these puzzles you have to solve of like you're jumping through fire, through blades, through fire, through blades, and like you have to like go back through the between dimensions, and like, you know, in some like in like your past it's like in fire zone, but like when you're in the present it's like not on fire, and like if you're in the past like there's guards, if you're in the present there's not guards because they're all dead because it's like so far in the future, well actually because you killed them, whatever, anyway. But
oh, I suddenly remembered what you're talking about. Because I played through Titanfall, and I can't, like, you're talking about these things, like, I don't remember anything about this story. And then
he's confused with and then I was like,
oh, right, the time thing with the fire. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because it's this hallway that's on fire. I'm like, yeah. How am I supposed to get through here? And it's like, push L1 to time travel. I was like, what? I'm time traveling now? I was like,
you're time traveling now.
The game is totally, it's really like, neat, because, like, you're in the past, I guess, and like all the enemies are there.
Yeah, because like on the one hand that was really cool, but then on the one hand I was like, I was not expecting that, and like that was just, you know, it went into zany weird whimsical town of like, well, Titanfall, I'm sorry, but now you're in this universe of like all these things that you've done, you've basically broken all these rules and I can no longer take you seriously. That being said, they did a pretty cool job, because there's this part where you're wall running and you're jumping off of one wall, time traveling, jumping off the other, time travel, and it's like you had to like do this to like avoid all these obstacles that they put in the environment. It's like, oh, it's so good. It's just like, oh, it was, man, it was so good. And then like, man, the your bond with your AI buddy, that was the other thing, because like, you know, I love me some Optimus Prime, and like he may not have been as good as Optimus Prime, but it did all the things. It was like, I guess it would be analogous to like Bumblebee, more of like that movie when it recently came out. Because like you and your robot buddy, you're going through stuff goes down, and it's like, yeah, man. But like it's even more. It's like kind of like weird. It's even more. What's that word? I'm sorry. It's that that connection, you know, you have that bond. It's even more intimate because they're in your brain. It's like, oh, I can feel your thoughts. You can feel it, and I am here too. And it's like, that's the other thing they did. They did fastball specials. So it's like your robot will throw you sometimes. So like, and it's crazy. I was like, what? Did they just fastball special? It's like, oh, that was, man. And the boss fights, dude. Like, that's the other cool thing, is like some of the other Titans, well, not Titans, or are they, whatever, the like other mechs you fight are like just like whatever, but then like the actual bosses in their Titans, oh my gosh, those were just like exhilarating, because like they are like, you know, it's like basically, I would say it's like very similar to like, you know, when you're still over DMC3, because it's like when you fight Virgil, and it's like, you know, he's at the same level that you're at. And he has like all the same abilities. It's the same thing where it's like, you know, their Titans have basically some really cool things that they can do. And you can like, you know, you can do cool stuff with yours. But it's like, oh, it's Highlander time, because only one, there can be only one here. And one of us is going to have to die. It's like, oh,
oh my.
Oh, okay. And just, so good. It's like so good.
Who died?
They died, of course. And it's like, psh, I'm an awesome mech pilot. And my robot BT has got my back. And it's like, yeah. but yeah, that was, I quite enjoyed Titanfall. It was good. And then, I'm sorry, there's like one more thing before I go, mic drop time, is like, at the end, the antagonist, he drops his card on your effing cockpit, like, camera thingy and it says Apex and it's like, oh, Apex Legends tie-in, that's where it came from. Oh, like after that happened, I was like, I was freaking out. I was freaking out. Cause he does that and he walks away. He's like, I'm not going to kill you because he's a mercenary. Because you fight mercenaries in this game. He's like, I don't work for free. He's like, oh, he didn't kill you because he ain't getting paid. Because he said in like the previous scene, but then the second in command tried to, was like, oh, I'll do it for free. But she died. She died. Oh, she did. And it's like, oh, I could have second in command. Oh, what? And then it's like, oh, no, he's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. Ah, I don't want to die. I want to die. But then he didn't kill me. And it's like, oh, I'm still alive. Revenge. Revenge, motherfucker. I'm going to kill you. I'm coming back. Titanfall 3. Let's do it. Let's do it. You know, I was like, completely off my radar and like not caring about,
confused,
and like knowing that they're making I think they said, and this one this fall, right? Like they're making like the Titanfall light, whatever, and like I'm
not clear,
or they said something is up with Titanfall anyway. Nah, but like Respawn is doing something, they're in the works. And, you know, I forgot that they are, like, the studio that doesn't make bad games because they are the old Infinity Ward, or are they the old other one?
They're the old Infinity Ward.
They're the old Infinity Ward because, yeah, they didn't make bad games. They were all hits. So I'm looking forward to that now and another studio to latch onto when the final episode of Walking Dead comes out. And I need another savior. Because Bioware's in dire straits, but yeah, like it was a great time, and like people say, it's a good Titanfall 2. It's a good game. Check it out. I didn't play the multiplayer because I was like, I'm not here for the multiplayer. I'm here for the story. Because people said, pretty good story. Yeah. The whispers. I've heard for so many years, and they were right. Titanfall 2, it's pretty good. Besides that, oh yeah, RPG. There was mech fighting, there was wall running and like jump packing, and it's in the future sci-fi space. That's all my jam. That's what you're like, here's a sandwich of all the things you like. I mean, the time travel.
Did you put that jam on a sandwich?
I did not. I just like licked it off the plate. I was like, yeah, I'm doing it. No bread.
Oh my.
Just licked it off the plate. But
it's just got awkward.
And I was like, you got some more? And they're like, no, because we're working on Secret Games and Apex Legends right now, so we have to come back later. And I was like, oh, I'll be ready with my plate and my butter knife, because I don't even need a spoon. I'll just be like, la, 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 and like stab it, and just like, na, 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 and just like stab it. La, la, la.
This podcast is not safe for work.
But yeah, besides that, that's all I've been playing. I had pretty good week of games. Pretty good week of games. Sleeper hits and best action game of all time. Devil May Cry.
Mine was more of a mixed bag. So I got two games. So I've been playing three fairly recent releases. Anthem, of course, hasn't improved that much since I guess they released the patch that that fixed would you game crashing thing. Agree with
sentiments from the people that are like, "Hey, where'd all the loot go?"
So I never got to experience the loot miracles. So I haven't seen the difference. If you don't know what that's about, like apparently, when early on in the game's release, like loot drops were really good. It was just like raining legendaries and masterworks, and everyone was like, "Yeah, this is so great." And then BioWare came out and said, "Oh wait, no, that's a bug. So we're gonna fix it." And then they fixed it. And then it was like very stingy. It's sort of like, I mean, I guess going back to Destiny, the first Destiny, there was that time when you were never guaranteed that you would get better stuff. What was it? Forever number. Yeah. It's basically like that.
Ew,
so
that's the worst.
There's like six component slots which make up like the bulk of your numbers essentially. And then like your two weapon slots, and I think it's like two or three gear slots. So two like active ones and then a support one, which is also active, but whatever. And once, I don't think there's any Masterwork support items. I could be wrong, but I haven't seen any. Basically, yeah, so once you have Masterworks in all of your slots, then the only thing that can help you progress even further is legendary items. And legendary items are, I guess they really are legendary because you barely believe that they exist. I've seen two. I've played, so I've finished all of the loyalty challenges, and those were like, you needed, I believe it was 5,000 experience for every single faction. And I've done all of that. I've done almost all the challenges. Now I'm just like clearing weapons ones, and it's like high level weapons ones. And then in the like end game challenge of Valor, I've completed everything, and I just need to do something like 53 world events, which are basically like public events in Destiny. So I've played like a lot, but I've only ever seen two legendaries, which is pretty crazy. So since I can't find any more, I'm just like, I'm stuck at, I think it's like 678 is the highest I can reach. And it has nothing to do with skill or anything. It's just like, oh, RNG. And but yeah, like
everyone's best friend.
So they fixed the bug. And I think that would have been it if they hadn't allowed it to happen again.
Oh,
they changed something on the server side, I guess, before they released this patch that like fixed the crashes and like some other things. Like one of the things that they changed was once you pass level 30, you don't get whites or greens anymore. Whereas before, like, you could still get whites and greens. And so they took those out. And so the assumption was, like, okay, if the whites and greens are out of the loot table, then the percentage chance of getting the other stuff is higher for everything, right?
Right.
Maybe? So the server-side change made it so it was raining loot again. And everyone's like, oh, cool, awesome. And then the patch came out. And then it restored it back to normal, quote unquote. And everyone's like, why? Why can't we have the nice things? Just make it rain.
But it didn't rain, said the narrator.
It did not.
It didn't rain. No.
So yeah, that I'm just playing like dailies now, and I'm not even trying. The thing is, so what it tells you in the game, in the menus, is that if you play at hard, then there's like a very small chance of Masterworks. And I don't know if you can get legendaries. Something like the first Masterwork I ever got, I was playing on normal. I was just like, I don't want to deal with hard or Grandmaster out in the open world. I just want to play normal. And then I just like killed a random thing and it dropped a Masterwork. It's like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. But at this point, it's just like, it says Grandmaster 1, there's a chance for Masterwork and a small chance of legendaries. And then Grandmaster 2 is like, there's a higher chance of Masterworks and legendaries. And then the Grandmaster 3 basically says the same thing. And you're just like, okay, so I should play the highest difficulty possible. But then, so far, every time I've done that, like, I still get the same, like, Masterwork drops. So, Grandmaster is way, way harder. In fact, it's gotten to the point where I think people just don't want to deal with Grandmaster 2. Like I've been in strongholds where we'll play through the first section, get to a chest, and then like half the team will drop. Like, they're just farming that first chest in this they're one like, stronghold. That noise.
Yep.
And sounds like... yeah, I guess that's how you play RNG, right? You just have to roll the dice more times.
Eventually.
But that's not how I roll, and so I spend. You know, you can do, at 678 with my Colossus, I can do Grandmaster 1 fairly easy. All three strongholds, we can get through, you know, at most like 50 minutes. But then Grandmaster 2, you do some of these strongholds, and it's like 2 hours, 3 hours, because the first one, there's like a part in the beginning that's really hard. There's like these turrets and just tons of these flying guys that have basically Gatling guns, and they kill everyone except Colossus so fast. And Colossus even, like, you gotta be really careful and like on point with your shield and everything. Once you got a good team, you can get through that one. So that stronghold is pretty easy. Then there's a middle one where like the ending is really hard. People die a lot. And you're just like constantly trying to revive everyone. And if you wipe, then you got to do the whole boss fight again. Also takes a long time. But like the worst one is the... it's essentially the last level of the game, story-wise. You play that mission again, but as a stronghold. And like most of the mission is just nothing. It's just like really easy to get through. Even though they throw these like pretty tough boss characters at you, like it's just, it's way fast because like compared to the end boss, you can spend 2 hours just on the end boss. And like, it's really crazy because his pattern isn't too hard to get down with the Colossus. It seems like as long as you have your shield up, anything he can throw at you won't kill you. It'll just like knock you down to zero health. Or not zero health, but like almost no health.
I was like, doesn't that count as killing you?
And then like, I guess your health regenerates up to, you know, just above critical if you're able to avoid damage for a certain amount of time. And so... you know, I'll be playing. It's like, okay, I got this pattern down. You can see all of his moves. They're really easy to like read, and then put up the shield, block the thing, put down the shield, start shooting him. There's like essentially no danger of dying. You gotta mess up pretty badly. And even though I've got it down, it still takes, you know, all that time to just whittle down his health to the point where it goes to the second phase of the boss fight, which, like, the second and third phases are, I haven't really figured them out yet, but, like, the first phase, like, okay, you know, I got this down. I understand how to do it. Even so, it will take an hour for us to get his health down to, you know, the point where he goes on to the second part. And each part is just, it just has way too much health. Like, that's one of the things that they adjusted. And still, it's just like, no, this is still way too hard. Like, we're doing very little damage compared to Grandmaster, and even on Grandmaster it takes a long time. Like, people have figured out, you know, the path of least resistance, essentially. Like, this is how we're gonna grind. We're going to play the easiest stronghold. And then now that like they've changed, before the changes, I don't think Grandmaster 2 is really even, I don't know if anyone was playing. Now it seems like, oh, okay, you know, they reduce his health. It should be possible. And people will go in.
Possible.
Like, no, it's just like, wow, this is taking forever. And yeah, like, it just feels very punishing. You spent 2-3 hours fighting this one stronghold, and then your rewards in the end are like, oh, basically the same. We got one or two masterwork, which I already have. I mean, they have different roles on them, so they have different stuff, but other than that, you know, they're not raising my power level at all. And then all these purples and blues is like totally worthless to me now.
Sounds like Destiny.
Whoa. Yeah, it's gotten to the point where it is pretty much what people were complaining about with Destiny. So nothing has been learned in the past. Destiny is like 8 years old. Pretty crazy. Yeah, one of the things, like, that aspect of Anthem is, it feels very punishing. It's just like, you just took on the most extreme, I mean, it wasn't, but it felt like the most extreme challenge this game has, and you don't get anything better. Like,
what's the point? Like,
wow, that was a huge letdown. But then the one place where it doesn't feel as punishing as Destiny, like, Destiny feels like it punishes exploration. Oftentimes you'll run off and explore and it'll be like, oh, invisible wall, oh, invisible ceiling, you know, just like invisible walls and ceilings. And then sometimes you can go to places, but then there's nothing there. Anthem's world is, it feels like it's built better, and like you feel like, oh, you can go to these places and sometimes there will be things. And so exploration doesn't feel as punished as in Destiny. But then, yeah, the reward system, it does feel like those nights with the raid and everyone's just like, I didn't get anything. Well, wait until next week. Although I guess with Anthem, you don't have to wait until next week. You can just continue playing it over and over and over and over again.
Yay.
I suppose that's why, you know, people aren't playing these strongholds. They're just like, no, they take too long. We're just going to play the easy one. Or we'll play the easy part of one of them and then just keep doing that and abandoning our team.
Yeah, thanks to Destiny. It's like, I don't think going forward I can really, you know, enjoy games that have any type of doing the same thing over and over again. It's like, unless it's like something that's really fun or I enjoy, or it's just like I can get something out of it, or just, I don't know. It's a tall ask right now to just be like, hey, Tekken, in game, when to grind that in game over and over. It's like, no, I'm good.
I'll get to that with Division 2. But yeah, first I want to briefly talk about the second new release that I've played through, which is Dead or Alive 6. I was kind of hoping that being new and all that, they would have... the last one was like 7 years ago, and I was hoping that, you know, following the example of NetherRealms and having all that time, they could have made a better story mode, but they did not. The story mode is essentially the same as Dead or Alive 5. I mean, different story and stuff, but it's still very disjointed, and they did sort of a multiple timelines thing, so... Or not multiple timelines, but it's like if you took a traditional fight, or not a traditional, like an old fighting game story mode for each character and then put it all together in one story mode. I don't think that makes sense. Well,
like when everybody wins the ending, but it's like all in one go or something like that?
No, so it doesn't have... Like, there's one continuity, but they, like, broke it up into little...
Okay, so it's like, this is this person's part, this is this person's part, for, like, 16 different parts for each character.
Kind of. So, like, Mortal Kombat, they did that, too. You know, there's, like, every chapter is one character, but then it was all sort of one cohesive story.
Oh, okay, it's disjointed.
Yeah, this one is not like that. So, they have... You do play the other characters. So there is like a main story that has to do with like the ninjas and something about clones and bringing back dead people. And yeah, it's really weird.
So,
but,
right.
Oh, and the really strange part is I feel like Dead or Alive's story used to be kind of decent and kind of
coherent.
Kind of like cool, I guess. Whereas now it's just like, what is it? Just feels poor. But yeah, like for the other characters that aren't ninjas or whatever, they have their own stories, which are, you know, they're not even related to the main story. And so instead of having like this one cinematic thing like Mortal Kombat or Injustice that you play through, it's they have this like branching timeline thing where it's like, okay, if you play down this branch, that's the main story. And then some of the characters in the main story, there's also things that they did on their own but are not related to the main story. So that's like another branch here. And then there's these characters out here who don't have anything to do with the main story. And so we're just gonna like weave in some of the main story characters, but they're like not really doing anything. And you know, none of it is, it's not like one adventure. It's like you select individual chapters. Even if it's in the same like branch, every time you finish a fight, it goes back to the timeline, branching timeline thing, and then you gotta select the next one. And it's just, it's very disjointed and just not what I want. After not Mortal Kombat, well it's done. Like, yeah. Everyone should be striving for yes. Mortal Kombat style
it's fighting not game hold story. Up to the contemporaries.
But yeah, like what I was saying about how like DOA seemed cool before. Dead or Alive 2, you know, there's a story of like Kasumi and she went looking for her brother who got taken at some point. And because she's a ninja, she wasn't like allowed to leave her village. And so she was sort of, now she's like an outcast. And her friend now has to go and hunt her down
and murder her friends.
And yeah, one of those guys is Liu from Ninja Gaiden, and he's hunting her down too. But he's like friends with her brother, and so he's sort of like conflicted, and there's sort of thing going on there.
Sounds like a shonen.
LOL.
Ninja leaves village, but must be hunted down because they left said village. Who will hunt them down?
And then there's like the Doatech side, which is like they're doing human experiments of some sort, and they like cloned Kasumi, and they did something to her brother, so he doesn't remember who he is.
Yes,
and
but they already have clone powers; they're ninjas. That's what Naruto taught me.
But it like it seemed cool, and like the characters seemed cool, and then I think it's because Itagaki is no longer there.
They lost the style.
Yeah. Like, even Dead or Alive Extreme in the early days seemed, while not as cool, like, I always thought Dead or Alive Extreme would be really neat if they had taken the same basic concept, but then kept the characters who they were. And it's like, well, that would be really interesting, because, like, part of the concept of Dead or Alive Extreme is this sort of like friendship game where you're playing, it's like almost like a dating sim, except that you're playing those characters. You're not like playing unnamed male character like you are in the later Extreme games. But yeah, like it still seemed kind of like, okay, I sort of buy that these are still those people. But like now, They've leaned so heavily into the fan service stuff that just seems really, really goofy. The characters in this one who are part of the main story, one of them is Honoka, I think, and then Marie Rose. And they're like supposed to be of age, but they look much younger. And they're just like, yeah, they just have a really goofy story, but like they're part of the main focus of the story. Honoka like has some sort of weird ability where she can like mimic anyone's moves, but she's portrayed as being really stupid and just like super naive. And it's like, this is the weirdest thing. And then yeah, like the Extreme games, like, it's not just between the girls now. Like, you play as supposedly the manager of the island. And then when the other ones just sort of, I don't know. Yeah, it's not good anymore.
Sweet fan service.
Like the creepy things were just sort of like suggested in the first two, and now Extreme 3 is like, oh no, you are doing the creepy things.
Oh no.
So yeah, it's very sad. Fighting wise,
is that good at least?
It feels like it hasn't changed that much. They've added, like, I recognize moves. Like, I played DOA 2 a ton, and sort of combos and stuff, I recognize certain moves, but then they've, like, added moves to them. So moves that weren't, you couldn't combo anymore before, you can combo now. And it's like, oh, that's really cool. But it doesn't seem like that different. It's just like the combos are longer, I guess. And I think DOA 2, was it called Hardcore? It was the PS2 yeah. release. Like the counter system was easier. So I think it was, well, in this one they call it the four-way hold. And so like to counter high attacks, you push, you know, diagonally up, back, and the hold button. And then the same with crouching, it's like diagonally down and the hold button. But then for like middle attacks, if they're punches, you push back and the hold button. But if it's a kick, if it's a middle kick, then you push forward and the hold button. And I think that's how the first game was. And I think later entries have been like that too. But then this one, so they added, I forget what the button's called. Well, it's R1, and it does, like, super holds, I guess, that, like, burn meter, and you gotta, or maybe they're just, like, get out of jail free cards. Like, I have no idea what it's gonna be. I'm just gonna push back and R1, and it will save me.
Did it save you, Tropical? Did it save you?
One time, I did it by mistake, because, like, R1 is also used for, I guess it's just used for, like, the meter moves. So if you push forward an R1 with a full meter and your like attack connects, then it does sort of a cinematic. You hit them really hard and they explode if they hit the wall. And just, yeah, it's the fighting part has gotten really crazy looking. But basically, it feels kind of the same. Yeah, so... You probably, or maybe you haven't, the season pass for Dead or Alive 6 is $92.99.
What?
It is for costumes and two characters over the next year.
Why is it so expensive?
I don't know. I mean, they release a lot of costumes, but if you read the season pass thing, it says... This is for this.
I don't think you should be spending that much money on this.
It's more than the game. But it's just like, oh, yeah. It's for this number of costumes and these two characters. And then it says, during the season, there will be other stuff that will be released that won't be part of the season pass.
So you have to buy extra stuff on top of the 90 something yeah. dollars you've already spent?
This is basically the model that they've been doing all throughout Dead or Alive 5, or at least once they released the free-to-play version. I think if you go on the PlayStation Store and search Dead or Alive 5, you will find hundreds of dollars worth of stuff.
There's a lot, because it's always on sale, and it's always like clogging the PSN Store, and I'm browsing, I'm like, why is this crap? And just makes me angry.
It should have a
would
folder.
Like you when you're angry? Would we?
So, I guess, like, I still like the fighting. It's still the same. But then, yeah, I feel like the stories have kind of gone... They're just not as neat. They're not as cool as I remember. And I mean, I guess I haven't played Dead or Alive 2 in a while or any of the other Dead or Alives in a while, but it feels like the stories are not as cool since Itagaki left Team Ninja. Kind of sad. Then I was trying to remember what he was making. And then I think the thing that he did make, which was a Wii U exclusive, was like really terrible.
And yes. That was like Devil something something.
Was it Devil's Third? Was it that one?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, that game that I forgot existed. Right.
Not great. Anyway, the good one that I played, also a new release, The Division 2, which I feel like is better than The Division 1 in every way.
Well, that's how sequels are supposed to work.
Yeah, usually. It's really cool. And I guess I haven't played a sequel like this in a long time. You know, Assassin's Creed, I could have, but I'm very far behind, so I haven't played the sort of the ones that people consider amazing.
Origins and Odyssey. Everyone's behind at this point. Everyone is. It's impossible to keep up with that series.
The last like two.
I don't think it's so much people are behind as much as they're like, you know what? F Assassin's Creed, F them, and they just like stop playing them.
That is possible.
That being said, they probably still sell millions and millions, so maybe not, but then it's just maybe it's just a new generation that just doesn't know any better. And they're like, oh, Assassin's Creed thing's been going a long time. I played it when I was like 5, the first one, with Altair. Didn't play the other ones to be like ruined like everybody else. So, kind of a bear, kind of not, whatever. Let's roll some dice here. I'm like, how bad could it be?
Yeah, and a lot of them are called different things now, so it's like they're not just all
numbers. Oh, that's right, not numbers, so it's like, yeah. It's like, unless you're keeping track, you're not keeping up.
Yeah.
That's how they get
like,
you.
Most of the sequels that I've, and this might be wrong, but like most of the sequels that I've played during this generation seem to have been either, you know, the previous iteration was on a previous generation, in which case it was like, oh yeah, like you sort of expected it to be better. Or it was something that was like Battlefield or Call of Duty, where it's like, in general, they're not better in every way. They're just kind of different. And especially with Call of Duty, it's like every year's Call of Duty is like, it's kind of different, but mostly the same. And Destiny really was like, yeah, it was like kind of different, but mostly the same. Division 2 feels like it's, I suppose it is kind of the same, but it's mostly everything has been improved. It's like the, it reminds me most of the sort of jump between PS3 and PS4, where PS4 feels like everything that the PS3 should have been. It's like the refined PS3, that's the PS4. Division 2 feels like, yeah, like, I haven't seen a sequel like this in a while, where it just feels like everything has been, it's, everything is still there, but it's been improved on.
Feels right.
Yeah, it's just, like, super cool. I haven't really gotten that far into it yet, but just, like, mechanically and sort of the feel of the world. So I talked about before in the beta where it's less boxy. The environments feel more organic.
Last word of the week. Boxy. Yes. Boxy rooms.
It's not boxy. There's like round rooms and like round tables and, you know, crescent shaped tables. And it's just like, you can't just, you know, huddle under behind cover and just like pop up and shoot people who are popping up to shoot at you. The enemies are all, they're really interesting to fight. It's kind of weird, and I don't think anyone has really done this before, but the enemies, which are human, kind of feels like when you're fighting the bigger robot dinosaurs in Horizon.
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Because they all have like parts and stuff on them. They're like wearing gear and things like that. And then, so in the first game, like if you ran up against a heavily armored opponent, the only thing that it was, or the only way in which it was different than others was that it had way more health. So it was just like, these are big bullet sponges that also dish out a lot of damage. And they're basically the same as regular enemies, except for those two things. In The Division, the big armored guys, Division 2, yeah, the bigger armored guys, like, you can break off their armor, and then once you break it off, then it's, like, really easy to kill them. They're just, after all, they're just, like, people inside of those shells.
I mean,
and, like, that's really neat. It just, like, feels very different because, you know, they have many parts of armor on them. And if you concentrate on one part, then you'll be able to break it off more easily and then just like shoot the fleshy bits under there and then they're just gone. And it's really fast. It's like, the first game was not like that at all. Like, you just had to whittle down their health until they died.
The soft, fleshy innards.
Yes. But it goes beyond like that.
Orange glowy.
So like, even
weak spot. Do humans have? Well, I guess they're humans, so they probably don't. They have
all
organs.
All of the human is the weak spot when you're shooting them with guns.
Crimson, glowy, weak spot.
Yeah, it goes beyond that. Like, enemies, even regular enemies, have equipment and things on them that you can shoot. And depending on what kind of equipment it is, it'll have different effects on them. So like before, like you could always tell, the HUD would always tell you above an enemy's head, their type. So there would be, in the first one, I just remember the like grenade guys. It would just like, they would have a grenade next to them and then they would throw grenades at you. In this one, they all have grenade launchers if they have a grenade thing on top of them, but then you can shoot their bag that has explosives in it, and if it doesn't kill them, if they somehow survive, they can't use their grenades anymore. They can only use their pistol.
That's pretty cool.
And like, there's these, I don't know what they're doing, like there's these characters that rush you, and occasionally
the knife dudes, those ones,
they didn't have knives, they had like billy bats.
Okay, well, I saw you shoot a bunch of dudes, so I thought they were them.
Yeah, just like they huff something, which
oh dear,
I don't makes them crazy. Like they're like berserkers, and they'll just like run at you and then melee attack you.
Amphetamines.
Maybe they're like huffing PCP and it's like, I feel no pain.
oh dear.
But yeah, they have some sort of drugs on them, because if you shoot their bags, then their bags explode.
The drugs to everyone.
Yeah, and there's like a cloud of drugs, and then anyone in the cloud gets confused, and it affects you too. The way they did it in the game is like, it basically randomizes what your controls do.
What? That's pretty cool.
And you'll just be like trying to run away, but you'll be running in the wrong direction, or like not in the direction you anticipated. Cool. It's like, oh, this is really cool. There's also, I don't know if this was what I thought it was, like sometimes you'll be fighting a sniper and then they'll like flash a green laser light at you, and then your screen will go white and you won't be able to see for a while. It's like, oh,
it's a laser
that's
pointer,
neat.
Yeah, shining in your
eye, like blinded you somehow. I don't think it was a flashbang, because I got hit by a flashbang today, and it was like a different effect, also blinding, but it was like a different effect. I was like, huh, I don't. Maybe that's a special skill that snipers have.
Nope, just a laser pointer.
But yeah, it's just really cool. Like all the enemies, and these are just like regular enemies too. They there's like interesting stuff can happen when you fight them, or you can do it on purpose and then like just make encounters way easier. Like oftentimes you're out in the open world and there'll just be groups that are roaming and they're scavenging or whatever, and since they're roaming they'll just be walking around in a group, and if you look around it's like, oh, that guy, you know, that's one of the druggy bags. And if you shoot the druggy bag, then all of them get poisoned and they're all confused, and then you just like grenade them all or something. Or yeah, grenade.
So what happened if that would have backfired and it's like it actually ended up making them all like super huffed up on their PCP thing and like hyper aggressive or something?
Hasn't happened yet, but that would be pretty exciting. Yeah, I guess that's the thing. Like these two things combined together, the non-boxy environments and the like gear and just like interesting stuff that happens when you fight characters, like it makes the battles
circles and drugs. This is how you make your game exciting.
It makes the battles feel much more exciting and dynamic. Whereas before it really is like, if you've played a cover shooter, then you have played the Division style combat. Like just hide, and you know, some characters will try to flank you, but mostly not. And yeah, just like stay there, huddle, hunker down, and pop up and play whack-a-mole. Division 2 is like, oh, you can't do that. Like with now that they have grenade launchers, they're super accurate and can shoot grenades super far, so grenades are raining down on you and they are very deadly, and the explosion effect is just way more disorientating than it used to be. And yeah, having berserker guys running at you, and if you shoot their you know, if they're in attacking range, they're within range to confuse you if you accidentally hit their bag, which is pretty likely because it's hard to fight up close with an assault rifle. And yeah, chances are you will hit the bag and it's like, oh no, I'm confused. Oh, they did that by design because the berserkers are wearing riot helmets. If you shoot them in the head, it doesn't really do anything until you break the helmet. So you're shooting at their midsection, which is where their drug bag is. And yeah, it's so much stuff can happen in combat, and it's just really cool. Environment, another part of the environments I really like, there's more types of weather. And like,
I was wondering about that because like it was daytime and I was like, does this give me a day night cycle? Because if it did, it does. That would be really good.
It has a day night cycle
because it looks pretty good too.
Yeah, and like it affects the gameplay a lot. If you choose, yeah, I've just been trying to get through it, so I'm not really waiting for conditions and stuff, but like some conditions are way harder to fight under than others. I was doing pretty well clearing out these control points, essentially, and like one of them I decided to approach at night in a storm, and my visibility was basically zero. And so I was just like looking over there, and it doesn't always highlight enemies with like HUD style markers. Sometimes you gotta look for them, and the only way I could tell where they were is they have these like little tiny flashlights on their vests, I guess, and just like just trying to find the little lights to shoot at, and they weren't shooting at me, so I couldn't look for like muzzle flare or anything. It's just like I have no idea where they are. All I know is that on the radar, there's a lot of red in that direction.
Oh yeah, that's the other thing, Tentacle. There is a lot of red in that game, and like, you have color blindness, but like you can see red.
I think I can see red.
I'm pretty sure.
Because I was like, there's a lot of red. Can Trouble see all these issues? I was like, because if he can't, man, there's a lot of it on the radar and like everything else. Well, he might not be seeing everything.
The one problem I have is so far is like red. The red for enemies and the green for allies look similar to me. Like, if they're next to each other and I had time, I could tell that they were different. But, you know, in, like, snap judgments, I am not always right. So sometimes I'll be like shooting at something. This happens in Anthem too. Like the green marker above the enemies or above allies, it looks similar to the red above enemies. And so sometimes I'll be like shooting at an ally NPC and nothing will be happening. And it was like, oh, that's not okay. I've been shooting at the wrong guy. And like that happens in the Division too. Thankfully, I don't think you can actually damage the friendly NPCs.
That was actually another thing cool. That was all you play. Like you summon reinforcements.
Yeah.
I thought that was neat.
Like,
signal.
That help. Part of the open world is a lot better than the first one too. In the first game, when you're out in the world, you encounter two types of people. You encounter people who appear to be like homeless people. And they don't like they're just wandering the streets. And occasionally one will come up to you and be like, "Oh, I need water or I need a energy bar or something." And then if you give it to them, then they give you usually cosmetic equipment, but sometimes they would drop like actual gear that you could use. And then so yeah, you'd run into homeless people or you'd run into bad guys of the various factions. And so I think because you never saw people other than that, it sort of made the game feel like all the bad guys are maybe not actually bad guys. They're just like people trying to survive, and they're like scavenging and, you know, occasionally hunting other survivors to get their stuff. But, you know, mostly they're just trying to survive. And so it felt like you're just running around killing civilians who are trying to survive.
I mean, that's kind of how apocalypses work. Apocalypse?
Kind of, but because, you know, the premise is like, oh, you're sort of this embedded paramilitary agents type thing who are sleeper agents who are awoken because of this crisis or called into service because of this crisis. Like, you're kind of like government agents, but going around killing American citizens because they're trying to survive and they're in your way. Yeah, it was a very strange feeling. Whereas in this one, I don't think I haven't seen any homeless people types like in the first one. In this one, like most of the people you see wandering are either bad guys, so guys who are, you know, running around with guns, being bad, I guess. And then, but there's actually other survivors who have guns and they're like banding together and like they have settlements and, you know, they're trying to survive too. And it just feels like it feels more like, oh, there's, you know, it's not just Division agents versus general populace who we have decided to consider bad. It's like Division agents, general populace who is like mostly good, but also, you know, fighting the people who we consider mostly bad. And so, yeah, just like having that, it feels a bit less like you're just running around killing random people who happen to be shooting at you, but, you know, you have way better stuff.
I mean, everyone is someone's enemy in some way, shape, or form, so...
Yeah. So yeah, you can do lots of things with like the good guys. Basically, one of the things, yeah, Tekken style, like you can raid these control points, and you can like before you do the first one, someone gives you a flare gun, and they're like, yeah, when you want to attack a control point, just like shoot off a flare, and then any nearby allied peoples will come and help you. And it takes them a while to get there. So you usually start off and you're just like fighting on your own, and then they'll show up and it's like, oh, it's nice to have NPCs on your side. But then you also do things like So in the first game, when you found sort of supply caches, like you'd find an abandoned clothing store and you could get like cloth inside. And what did you want cloth for? For crafting. So you could craft better knee pads or whatever with cloth. And in this one, once you've captured control points and even the settlements, like they need supplies, like they have kids and just like general non-fighting populations in there, and they need stuff, and they will send out.
Kind of weird when I was like watching you, and I was like, "Why are there kids running around? This is weird." They don't need to be out here seeing this.
Yes, they do.
They're not. They're on the roof. Yeah, like the settlements will actually send out NPC parties to go get items that they need, and if you have items that they need, you can just give it to these like supply run parties, and then, or like you can escort them to supply locations and then help them gather supplies, and then then they bring it back, and it's like, oh, it's really cool, like these interactions with the NPCs feel very natural, and they don't feel it doesn't require like a mission giver to tell you to start this thing, and then it becomes sort of like this mission where you go get water or whatever. It's just like organically in the world, like Red Dead style. Like you see people and you help them, and then that's just like part of the open world. It's like, oh, the first one didn't have stuff like this. This is really cool. I think there was another thing I wanted to say about it. Nope, I guess not. There's so many little things that I think are really nice, and there's sort of improvements over the first one.
Did you finish the campaign of the first one, Tropical?
Yes.
Is there like a thing that like bridges the gap of like how you ended up in DC?
sort of.
Oh, darn. Like, I was hoping you'd like pick up or something.
Well, it's in the second one. Like the first one, so I haven't finished everything in the first one. And I think what I was talking about, or I sort of alluded to it earlier when we were talking about like Destiny and Anthem's endgame. Like those two games feel like endgame is the game. You know, you play the single player or campaign stuff, and it's kind of short, and then it's just all endgame. Like, Anthem's, I thought, was longer and had a conclusion, so I thought it was better. But, like, Destiny, you play through that, and then it's like, now you have reached real Destiny, and it's time to grind. And, like, that's the type of game it is. Division, like, technically is like that, too, but then there's just so much more stuff. There's so much more game before you reach the end game.
I like that.
So, like, having played through the campaign of The Division, it feels like I finished a game. You know, whereas, like, if you only play the campaign of Destiny, you've missed, like, so much of the game because, you know, that the campaign isn't the game. Like the stuff after the campaign is the game. Kind of. So yeah, like Division 1, I finished the campaign. Then I looked through the trophies and there was like something where it said you find out the fate of certain characters in the campaign, which was like left open-ended. And I was like, I thought it was going to be in the sequel, but then after seeing the trophies, like, oh, maybe you find out what happens to those people in the first one. It's just like high level stuff that I didn't get to. But then, yeah, like Division 2 starts off in another, like you're fighting in another place. And then there is a call like on the Division bat phone that's like, oh no, DC's in trouble. And then they're like, you should go. And then you go. and then you're in DC.
Well, that seems a lot. I mean, I guess that's more practical than some elaborate story, but.
Well, I mean, there's like lots of. It's a Tom Clancy game, so it has that sort of story stuff where, like, the premise of the first one was kind of interesting. It was like, it's Black Friday, and someone decided to infect dollar bills with, I think it's like a version of smallpox, and then it like killed a city, mostly. And they called it the dollar plague, and I guess it happened everywhere. And then, but you know, not at the same pace or whatever. I don't know. And so, like, the DC stuff happens after Division One, and I guess it's not winter anymore. So you can have greens, and it's not all snow, and someone has cleared away most of the Christmas decorations, although there are still some. Yeah. I think it's quite good so far. The gear management, I think, is pretty tedious because there's no easy way to tell what gear is better. You just sort of have to figure out, okay, well, what kind of gun do I want? Do I want like high RPM, low RPM, you know, good distance fighting, all that stuff. In Anthem and Destiny, I was mostly just really lazy, and it's just like, oh, this one has a higher number, I'll choose that one. Whereas this one's like, oh, well, if I just choose the highest number damage every single time, I'm just gonna have two sniper rifles, and that's a really bad way to roll in this game.
Can you dual wield sniper rifles?
No, you can't.
Missed opportunity.
Oh, I guess the last thing, like, so I've been playing multiplayer Division 2, but in the way that I've been playing Anthem multiplayer, where it's like not with friends, I'm just like random matchmaking into whatever, because it really is easier if you have a group. I've tried some of the missions single player, and because the AI is just more aggressive or just like more interesting to fight, you're always on your toes. Like, if you, unless you find a corner in a room to fight out of, they will just come from your flanks, and then it gets really tricky, and they can kill you pretty easily too, because it's like mostly realistic, sort of. Like, you can't take very many shots. You have armor. They changed it. Like, the first one, you had med packs. This one, it's armor. And armor doesn't regenerate. So you gotta use armor packs to repair your armor. Or, like, mid-fight, it doesn't. If the fight ends, then it does. But yeah, like, once your armor is gone, like, you're very squishy. They will kill you very quickly. And yeah, just like having more people to cover the flanks is like, oh, it just makes it so much easier. Yeah, they did there's a matchmaking system that they added where every time you die, it gives you the option to choose a respawn point, and if you're not in a mission, then it has to be like one of the safe houses, which is not necessarily where you are. Or you can call for backup. And call for backup sends up the call, and then people online can receive it and accept the call.
That's pretty cool. Like, it's kind of like an SOS flare.
Yeah. The problem is, it's sort of hidden how to actually do it. So in early on, like, I'd just be walking around, and then the AI computer thing will say, oh, you know, division agent requesting backup. I'm like, yeah, I want to back that guy up. How do I do it? And I went into all the menus. Like, I don't see anything here. So that was in the beta. And then in the full version, finally, I saw the tutorial message just says, oh, yeah, if you get a request for backup, then you go to the map and then you switch to the SHD tab. And like the tabs are really tiny up in the left corner. I was just like, what? It's like, oh, okay. And I switched them over. I was like, oh, so this is where all, like, these are all the SOS calls out there. And you can just pick one and it will load you into that instance of the world. And then you can go help that person. And yeah, then like, even with just two people, it's much easier. So that has been so far, I guess, because it's new so far, like, it's been pretty okay online. There's no, I mean, yeah, maybe Fortnite is how we have the nice things. It absorbs all of the
one game,
all of the not nice elements. Yeah.
It's like the ghost thingy in Ghostbusters, except for a-holes.
This has been really cool because I haven't used my mic at all, and so far I haven't heard anyone on mics either, but they give you like simple emotes and then we'll just like emote at each other. And like I got someone requested backup and I joined that game, and then we finished the thing that they were trying to finish, and then they like saluted me and then walked off. And then like I started walking after them and they turned around and I guess they realized, oh, you're going to continue to help me? Cool. And then they turned around and ran off and I just like followed them around and we did a bunch of missions and it was like really awesome. So that was like best experience so far. The strangest one was it was a group of three people that I joined. Two of them had the same clan tag. So I was like, okay, they're probably on mics. And those two people just kept like running around and like looting, I guess. And there was just like, they found so many bags to loot that I didn't even see. They're just like running around. I think we're in the FBI building and they're just like running around like looting everything. I was like, what are we doing? Like the, and it was sort of in on the border of like a mission area. So we'd be in the mission area. And then they would leave, and it's like, oh, you're leaving the mission area. And then we would leave the mission area. But then they'd come back, and like, so are we doing this mission? What's going on? And yeah, I guess they were just like looking for supplies. And then eventually we did the mission, and it was very difficult. I was way underleveled, and they were playing way too aggressively. So they kept going down, and then I would be the only one alive, but there'd be a ton of enemies. And I wasn't really doing enough damage to them. And it's like, oh, yeah. It was very exciting. Very strange. So, yeah. Three games. Two of them. Anthem I still think is pretty fun. But, yeah, now that I've hit the end game part, it's like, end games aren't great. And then Division. Yeah, so far. Pretty cool. Seems like a pretty beefy game before I'll hit the end game. Once again, I thought Division was actually a shorter game when I played the first one. Until I realized, oh, your level does matter, like, a lot. So I do have to do these side missions so that I have enough experience so that I can actually go to these harder levels to finish the story. And it took quite a while. I think I'm level 10 now in Division 2, and I have already played like 9 hours. So, and I've only done like 4 story missions, and there are a bunch more. So, pretty cool. I don't know. When I first bought the two, I was thinking, oh, I'm going to live in these two games now. But then, now that I've actually played them, it's like, you know, they aren't really. Like, they are those types of games, but I don't really feel like living It doesn't, yeah, it's that obligation thing again, I guess. Division, it felt like, Destiny, it always felt like, yes, I must live in this so that I can keep up. But these two is like, yeah, I think finishing the single player stuff is enough. And then it's cool that they add on to it for free.
For free?
Well, Anthem stuff is free. Division has a year one pass.
I thought that they said at E3 last year that no, or like free add-ons or something.
Division? I can't remember what it said. Anthem.
It was a division. Also, I thought all the stuff for Anthem was gonna be free too, because they said no microtransactions. Yeah.
Yeah.
No microtransactions.
I know Anthem's is free. So. Yeah, I guess I was talking about Anthem. I don't really know about Division.
Because I thought that was like the same thing that they had like that announcement when they're like, Raid coming eventually or something.
Whatever that's been said. Oh, yeah. And, like, I guess specialization. Year one, you get early access to year one episodes if you have the pass. So 7-day early access to all year one episodes, and then instant access to all year one specializations as they release. So it seems like, yeah, Division 2, everything, you get everything eventually without the pass. It's just like later. So yeah, that's pretty good. Beefy single player, and then free stuff. Free add-ons, free sequel, essentially. That's pretty cool. Yes. So anyway, that's what I've been playing. Maybe we don't need a middle segment. Maybe we can just do RR. Because we've gone, this is like 2 hours already.
I was about to say, yeah.
And we didn't even take last week off.
It's all Tekken's fault.
DMC is too good.
It was. It is. It's all of the things.
All right, RPG. What have you been playing?
Well, Devil May Cry 5. We've already gone over it. So.
Oh, is that it?
Of course. What kind of question is that?
Wait, so Tekken, you're done with DMC?
Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
Why would I taint it? Another game.
That's the only problem I had, is like after I finished Devil May Cry, I was like, dude, you can only go down from this game. Like, how am I supposed to play something else and like not be like, this isn't Devil May Cry, and just be like bummed out?
Did you finish Ace Combat back
yep,
then?
I sure did.
So yeah, I gotta play through that one. I started a quest to play everything. Probably not gonna go anywhere, because that's how these things go.
Oh no.
But I guess I've been on a pretty good streak recently. Finished Anthem, finished Dead or Alive 6, finished something before Anthem, can't remember what it was. I guess I was in the proximity of a finished Kingdom Hearts 3 playthrough. So
You're disappointed in you.
So yeah, Division, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna finish Division, I'm gonna get Devil May Cry 5, I'm gonna play other stuff, it's gonna be great.
And even you can play Devil May Cry 5, because they have like an auto assist mode and a not hard mode.
What makes
I
you
guess?
Think I'm bad at Devil May Cry?
I don't know, you're always talking about how you're bad at games, so I just figured, you know. Actually, you're probably bad at
it. I don't know. Maybe.
See? They have an auto assist mode for people like you, and then it's like you can play on you can play on the human difficulty, so you don't even have to like pretend like you know what you're doing, because you're not Devil Hunter material.
I suppose if I want to get through games quickly, I should just like not struggle. I'm gonna play everything on easy.
There's no shame in that.
Yeah, it's about quantity.
When we play games, it's enjoyment, not for seeing if you can torture yourself while doing it. I mean, why would that be fun?
All right. Well, we'll do a weekly RR and then see this elevator thing, and then maybe we'll cut some news, or maybe we'll do the news and then see if we do the elevator thing. Anyways, starting off, weekly RRs, releases.com, list of games, and then either their Steam store description or their website description of the game. 10 words only. See which games seem interesting in just their first 10 words. And yeah, let's do this.
Let's.
So, March 15th, this Friday, we got three games. First one is called Blood Waves, Hardcore and Bloody Shooter, where you will have to repel.
Well, I don't think I like this. Sounds bloody.
Does sound bloody.
And hardcore.
I mean, there was like 10 words, but bloody is the only one I remember.
It's true.
Oh, also the game is called Blood Waves, so that's probably
a lot of blood going on there.
Waves of blood, yeah.
Pass. Someone has a love of blood, and that is not healthy, whoever you are.
If you're a vampire.
I mean, then it's definitely not healthy, because vampires are dangerous. I mean...
And sexy.
Oh my goodness.
And glittery.
Oh my goodness, these are like multiple different types of vampires you guys are describing right now.
Second one is Tom Clancy's The Division 2. In Tom Clancy's The Division 2, The Fate of the Free.
Wait a minute. If it comes out this... How are you...
Yep, actually the game is not out yet. I got the gold edition because I'm trying to maximize my savings with my Gamers Club, which ends on Friday. So gold edition, you get 3-day early access.
Because I was like, wait, what do you mean it comes out this month? I'm confused now.
Won't be out till Friday.
I just don't like these Friday releases for games. But I'm probably not going to pick it up because reasons.
Yeah? Nope.
Aww.
I'll wait for the however many years later complete edition for $20 like the first game.
All right.
And still never play it.
Hey, I'll get to it eventually.
Next one is One Piece World Seeker. Leave your compass behind and join Luffy as he embarks.
Like, I would semi-interested in this game, but the problem is it's a One Piece game. And I was like, One Piece. Like, if this was like done this style but with like Dragon Ball or Bleach or something, I'd be like, oh, okay, cool, but it's One Piece, and I've seen like half of an episode, and it was like in the middle of like their seventh season or something, so I was like, I don't know what's happening.
I think I saw half really of stretching. The first one.
Yeah, it's yeah, I mean, people keep saying the series is good, but now they're at like 900 episodes, so yeah, never gonna watch it. Because nobody got time for that. Anybody got time for that?
Check in?
No.
All right. March 19th, the messenger. As a demon army besieges his village, a young ninja.
Yep. I'm looking forward to this game. I've been looking forward to it since it was announced for Switch, and I was like waiting for it on PS4, and it finally came to PS4, so it's time. Just like Floor Kids. Which I really bought on Switch, but not buy on PS4. So, or I got on PS4 as well. So it's like, you know, if I just would have held out, I'd have been able to, you know, got it just on PS4. But whatever, it's fine. No big deal.
It has ninjas and demons in it, so it sounds like it would be interesting.
It's a retro style.
Oh, gross.
Aw, sad.
You don't like retro styles RPG? What?
Ew, no, I'm like but a visual all elitist now.
And,
I know. Visual elitist now.
Okay.
The next
one changed you.
The next one is SNK 40th Anniversary Collection. Description, so I just took the first 10 words I saw on the site. Alpha Mission, Athena, those are Crystallis.
I just about to say
Ikari like, Warriors, Victory Road, Ikari 3.
Well, no. Sounds like random words because, you know, just said random words.
I bet they mean something to someone.
Probably, but not to me. I don't know what any of those things are, except for Athena being the Greek god. So, I mean, is the Greek god in the game? Is she in the collection? Is she tropical?
Maybe.
So,
the genre is also arcade. So, arcades are from Greece.
What?
Yeah. There were arcades before video arcades.
I don't. Tropical. She was also a villain in the God of War series, so there's that. Well, kind of a villain. I mean, Kratos wasn't exactly the nicest guy, so. I mean, I don't blame half the Olympus gods for trying to murder him. Kind of a jerk. I mean, he's nicer now because he has a kid, but I mean, he's still
he's nicer now because he has a
kid. It's not really by much. I mean, he's still kind of a jerk.
God, I gotta play that game.
He doesn't even remember his kid's name. Keeps calling him boy all the time. I don't know. What kind of father does that?
Last year brought us three characters named boy, boy, and girl.
Oh dear.
Were they all in God of War?
No, they weren't all in God of War. What kind of question is that?
One was in God of War. The other two were in Bird Box.
That movie wasn't that great.
Oh, okay. I thought you said games, Tropical, not movies.
No, just like
said last year.
Yeah, characters.
Oh.
Oh my gosh. Pay attention.
All right, moving on. The last game for March 19th is American Ninja Warrior Challenge. With the goal to achieve total victory, players compete on.
I really do like that TV show.
So is it like the video game version of the TV show?
I believe so.
I want to see gameplay before I commit.
But so basically, you would just be playing the same thing over and over again until you beat the corpse, I guess? Get the
mount, which Midori Yama, maybe, or whatever it's called.
I don't. I mean, I'm not like a huge fan of the show either. So, I mean, I wouldn't really play the game, so there's also that. I just find no pleasure in watching people do obstacle courses. That does not excite me at all. So, sorry. There was one show that used to have something like that, but it was all about people failing said obstacle course. Which
Extreme Elimination Challenge?
No, I forgot what it's called, but it's like it was pretty much the obstacle course was designed for like people to just not.
Oh, Wipeout?
That one, yes. That show. But then that also kind of got stale after the first three people, because it's like, okay, I get it. People. I get it, show. I get
now
it.
Now we're waiting for someone to get really hurt.
Basically.
Darkest timeline. March 20th.
Pretty much.
First one is Immortal Legacy, The Jade Cipher. What? This claustrophobic thriller is set upon a secret island plagued.
Sounds interesting. Probably an adventure game, though, because I was like, what type of game is this? And it just said thriller, which is not a game genre. I should point that out.
Oh, man.
I should pick a movie. We're trying to be a cinematic adventure experience. Or
what does the genre say? Tropical.
It says action first person.
Ooh, I'm curious now. Oh, I'm curious. Action first person. But it's a thriller.
Immortal Legacy. You have done well with your description.
But still a little confusing.
And then finally, Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon. Everybody, go forth through the dungeon with this brand new game in.
What is this ported from? Is this from the Wii game or something else?
I think it's a new game. I think it's like not like what? A port, or I think it's like a new Chocobo's Dungeon, basically.
Oh, I thought it was a remaster or port or something, since they're all coming out now.
And I think this is like an actual new one or something like that.
It was
because everybody, for some reason, I have no idea.
Everybody.
I don't know. The description doesn't work because it's like it didn't tell me anything. But I mean, I know what a chocobo is, so I don't know. I don't know, man. I'm confused, and I have questions that I can't get answers to because the way this segment works. So there's that.
Yep.
So if it was just going by the description, I would not do it. I would not do it. But the fact that there's a chocobo in it, I'd be like, "Ooh, chocobo!" So it's just like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm at a crossroads here. But no, I'm not doing it.
Tekken?
Maybe eventually, not day one.
All right.
I don't even know what the MSRP is for it, so it's like, yeah, pass. Because after a certain threshold, that game is not worth it, just saying. Well, I mean, I like my Final Fantasy spin-offs as much as the next person, but some of them just, you know, are in a different league than others, is all I'm going to say.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so news, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things. Do we want to do news, or do we want to do this, who's on the rise, who's on the decline?
We couldn't do the news and just do the elevator thingy next week.
All right, cool. We will do that. Yeah, what you been playing went very long today. Because is this the end of Second Christmas? Sekiro's still out there.
Sekiro's next Friday, but then
that's and then Walking Dead finale.
Is that in April or is that this
month? It's in the 26th of this month.
Okay, so almost. Mm-hmm. I guess I also bought a bunch of games recently. So anyway, for whatever reason, we will move on to the news then. First one has to do with the Fortnite lawsuits about the dances and stuff.
LOLs.
So those people who have been suing Epic Games voluntarily dropped their lawsuits recently because the Supreme Court has said that you can't pursue copyright infringement if your work isn't registered with the U.S. Copyright Office.
Duh, dummies.
Because there was another...
Although, there's a bunch of happy lawyers out there, though, because they're like, ha-ha, got my money, though. Because you had to pay me for my hours, billable hours, y'all!
This came out of the Hollywood Reporter. The firm that is representing all of these people has said that this is purely procedural matter and all the suits will be refiled once the plaintiffs have completed their copyright office registrations. Wow.
The joke is on them because they can't. You can't copyright a dance. Y'all fools! Pay them for nothing! For nothing!
Yeah, one of the stories that has occurred in this time was that Alfonso Ribeiro, Carlton was refused copyright for the Carlton dance because the Copyright Office says the work submitted for registration is a simple dance routine. And I guess because it was simple, it doesn't count.
Oh, burn. Your dance is too simple. You can't copyright it. Get out of here, Carlton.
Get good! Get good, dance! Well, the problem is with dances is that, I mean, one, there really aren't any like original moves anymore. It's like everything's like a foundation or been based off of something that already existed and just like altered and, you know, stuff added to it. So it's like, unless it's like some super elaborate dance routine, it's like, well, I mean, you can't really claim it as your own.
Well,
and what's to stop Epic from like copywriting all of these things now that everybody's trying to do it? And you're like, you know what, we'll follow the copyright,
we have Fortnite money, we'll do it.
We have Fortnite money.
Our lawyers are good on it right away.
And then right they'll sue all of them away for using the dances in the past. And they'll be like, yeah, remember that time you guys used that dance we own? Yeah, we want our money. So, yeah, this could all backfire horribly for them.
Hilarious.
The next game coming from Ryuga Gotoku Studios, the Yakuza guys, is called Judgment. It's coming out June 25th in the West. It's already out in Japan, but not currently. They they recently pulled the game from shelves because actor and musician Pierre Taki voices one of the characters in the game. Was arrested for cocaine use. And because it's Japan, it's like way more severe. And he admitted that like they raided his house and his car and they didn't find anything. But then like he tested positive for cocaine and he said, yeah, I use cocaine. And so they've pulled the game.
Wait, did he like use it all when he knew they were coming to raid him? Like, what the hell?
It's not clear.
Like, crap, they're coming. I have to use all my cocaine now.
This is from a Kotaku report translated from Japanese. So that was not specified. That'd be pretty funny, though. They reported that Sega pulled the game, physical and digital, and they're going to figure out what they're going to do. Apparently, like, someone who worked, or one of the voices in Yakuza 4 was replaced after that person had some sort of drug scandal. And then, apparently, because this guy also voices Olaf in the Japanese language versions of Frozen, which includes Kingdom Hearts 3. So we don't know what's going to happen with that game in Japan. But Asahi News reports that Disney is looking to replace him as Olaf in Frozen 2, which is scheduled for November in Japan.
Oh, dear.
Pretty serious.
That's kind of a mess. Yeah, but it's kind of a mess. People have to redub everything and go, oh, gosh.
Like, oh, dang it. Yeah, it's not even related to like, oh, this is a kid's property, because Judgment is not a kid's property.
It is not.
it's not. Like, oh, no, sorry.
Which I find funny because it's like a lot of these type of games often make a lot of references to like drug and alcohol use and stuff like that. And yeah. It's like, wait.
Well, not so much drugs, or no, I guess so. But yeah, not in the way that they reference drug use here.
Well, yeah. But then it's like, especially when you think about things like Yakuza, and it's like people have this whole, they have this stigma or this whole idea of how Yakuzas work, I guess, because I mean, I don't know what real Yakuzas do. I only have the assumptions based on, you know, what I assume the mob does. So it's like, it's like, well, I mean, so it's interesting for that to end up being kind of the thing that happened.
EA following, or probably not following Sony's example, but for their own reasons, because they've been bad, they're not doing an E3 press conference this year either. although they are still going to be doing EA Play, which is their, I guess it's not part of E3, right? Like EA Play is just their own open to the public, come play new EA games thing that happens to happen during E3. So fewer and fewer things to watch E3 weekend.
I mean, it's like getting to the point where everybody's kind of like dropping out of E3, and it's like, does this mean like E3 is just going to like not exist, or is just like they're just going to have a shortened E3 now where they just have basically like the booths set up for the companies, and then you go in, you go out, and they're just like no big like conferences anymore? Or are they going to open up their own conferences like PlayStation does their experience, and Nintendo just continues with their directs and everything, and it's just kind of like not E3-ish anymore?
Maybe. Like, E3 is just it's in a transition phase, I think. No one really knows what it's for. Because it used to be, well, in the beginning, it was like a business thing. The E3, they showed essentially like retail buyers. It's like, oh, this is the game that's coming out. And then the retail buyers would be like, okay, we want to buy this. We want to stock this one in our stores. And then for a while, it was like for press to get stuff out with the retail thing also. And then recently, it was like, oh, we're opening it to the public because we need money, I guess. And then, then the first year they did that, like the business stuff was way harder to do because there was just tons of business people there. So, yeah, I think over the next few years, it's just they got to figure out what E3 is. And do we actually need something like that anymore?
Gasp.
I guess it would be kind of sad.
We'll be telling our kids stories around campfires.
At least Gamer got to go to one.
He did. He did.
Spyro, the remaster, is finally getting subtitles. Activision is patching them in. We talked about it not having subtitles before because their excuse was there's no industry standard for subtitles, so we just didn't do it.
The fact that pretty much all games at this point include them in their games. So that was weird.
It was weird. So their subtitles pretty fancy. They have character headers to identify who's talking, line splits for readability, colored text.
I mean, that doesn't do you any good.
I can use character headers. I can
read. I'm talking about the colored things. I know you can read tropical. You're doing it right now.
Also, like, I can hear.
You're literally doing it right now. Like, literally doing
it. This guy. Dragon's Dogma is coming to Netflix. Capcom and Netflix and a CG company called Sublimation are going to be making a Netflix original anime series based on Dragon's Dogma.
Interesting. I mean, I've never actually played through that game, so I don't know how the anime is going to work, but it's cool.
Well, it says there's a brief synopsis. The story follows a man's journey seeking revenge on a dragon who stole his heart. He fell in love with it. On his way, the man is brought back to life as an arisen.
Oh, so maybe literally then.
Yes. an action adventure about a man challenged by demons who represent the seven deadly sins of humans.
Oh.
So,
that sounds fun.
Guess we'll see.
Though it would have been more interesting if he fell in love with the dragon.
Unbreak my heart.
Exactly. I would actually watch that show. I'm not gonna lie.
Finally, we learned this week that Jade Raymond, who used to head Assassin's, or she was like one of the faces of Assassin's Creed, and then left and started EA Motive, which got shut down after the open world Star Wars game that was replacing the other Star Wars game that got shut down, also got shut down.
It's a mess.
Yeah, she left EA, and now we know that she's at Google as a vice president. Google is about to get into games. We know this because they've been teasing some sort of reveal set for March 19th during GDC.
Just next week.
They've put up a trailer. We have no idea what they're going to show. So far, the only thing we know about Google's gaming ambitions has been Project Stream, which was a streaming service that offered one game, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, for testing, and apparently it ran pretty well. So, oh, and also, like, some people found a controller patent that they filed a few years ago for, like, how notifications will be handled or something like that. Anyway, Google is coming to games. We have no idea what it is. GDC is right around the corner, and yes, there's about to be a lot of announcements, probably, because GDC and then convention season begins.
Oh, yeah. The lead up to E3. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Or lack thereof, E3.
Finally, there is Shenmue 3 gameplay videos out there now. So, if you're interested in Shenmue 3, you can see how it looks. It's supposed to come out this summer, so very soon. Very soon. The end. Is that the last one?
Last dream game.
Oh, no, it's also Final Fantasy VII. Oh, right, Final Fantasy VII. Almost.
Although that's probably not going to happen for another 5 years.
So. E3 of Dreams. They can do another E3 of Dreams because it's not out yet.
Yeah.
But they will be E3, so maybe never again. Oh!
Dun, 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 dun.
Or I guess that's not finally. Well, the last one's sort of a rumor. Market Watch reports that Take-Two's stocks rose like 4%. Why? Apparently there's a rumor that Sony is in advanced talks to acquire the publisher.
Oh?
Yeah. It's a rumor, so that's all we know. In fact, we don't even know that. We know that there's a rumor, and that's what the rumor says. That's what we know.
I heard a rumor. Oh, wait. Does Take-Two develop stuff, though, or they only publish things?
Or, because Take-Two owns Rockstar and 2K Sports, and so like Visual Gearbox. Concepts and Gearbox. Or, no, they don't own Gearbox. Gearbox is... Gearbox is independent, I think.
You sure?
Yeah, Gearbox publishes stuff.
They do publish stuff. But I mean,
pretty sure. I think Gearbox is independent. But yeah, that would be weird and pretty crazy.
I would just be for it just because all the Microsoft and we're going to buy all these studios and Sony bought the only one that mattered. Oh,
yeah, I saw this rumor on Gamma Sutra, so I was like, that seems to lend it some credence. Yeah, the end of their article was like, oh, this might be a sort of response to Microsoft buying up all these studios.
Oh, goodness. Are we heading towards a gaming future where the three publishers or the big three own like all of the companies and it's like
Oligopoly.
Oh gosh.
Well, you know, another, like, when I first saw it, the potential future I saw was like, so this is going to be really weird because there's going to be Microsoft games on Switch and PS4. I mean, there already are, like, Minecraft is there. And then if they buy Take-Two, would there be Sony games on Xbox and Nintendo?
Probably. I mean, they wouldn't miss the chance to make extra money.
Yeah, so suddenly it's like, oh, we have studios that we own that make exclusives and also studios that we own that make third-party games.
Oh, dear. This is going to get weird.
Well, I guess that makes sense. You need your exclusives to sell your hardware.
Yeah.
So you can make money off software. But then you can also just make money off software if you sell it on other people's hardware.
And then just charge extra to the companies involved. So that way it's like, LOLs, Microsoft, you owe us extra money because this is ours. It's ours, man. It's ours. But you know you want it because you need to sell your crap. It's going to be an interesting future, I guess.
I guess we'll see.
Now, did the stocks rise because of the rumor, or the stocks rose and the rumor like came from it?
They probably rose because of the rumor, and then probably also changed. Or no, the rumor definitely came first. In both cases.
Interesting. That would be interesting to for realsies, though. I mean, I guess we'll find out for sure soon enough if it really is happening. So there's that.
So that is the news that I have. Any other news?
I want to say there was something, but it's not coming to me. And I don't think, maybe that was it. I think that was it. Yeah. Unless there's, let me see real quick. I don't think there's anything else. Because in my brain, I'm like, was there something else? I feel like there was, but I'm not sure now. No. No.
Have you been watching Digital Foundry?
No, I've not.
It seems to be playing out, or I guess not really. But yeah, more and more it seems that the Xbox One and the original model and the S are just being left behind. So instead of shackling the most powerful console to the weakest console, they're just like unshackling it and letting the weakest console have subpar stuff now.
Oh,
there was the Borderlands 3 teaser.
It's just that one image, right, with the billboard.
Yeah, but it's a Borderlands 3 teaser dropped.
So maybe Borderlands 3
or whatever.
What if it's like? What if it's like Battle Born 2 or something?
That's not funny. That's not funny. I've been waiting a year since it was a hot rumor when all those other games got leaked, and I was like, oh man, Borderlands 3 and Splinter Cell, and they both didn't show up, and then like they didn't like then like convention season completed and neither of them showed up, and I was like, no, another year waiting, and then another hot rumor of like, oh, Borderlands 3 has a teaser image of cel-shaded stuff from a cel-shaded game. It's like, it better be Borderlands 3. I'll find you, Tim Schafer. You're going to wish you never lost that USB beep thingy to
go back on,
to be behind on whatever you're developing. Yeah.
Tim Schafer?
Or the Randy Pitchford.
Yeah.
No, Tim Schafer. But that's the only thing I can think of. I'm pretty sure anyway.
Cool. Well, thank you for sticking around. If you heard all of this, definitely not our longest podcast, but
There's also like a video of Unsung Story after like many months of like, yay, an update of gameplay, and it's coming along. And they might do video updates every month, but we'll see. So
how long have you been?
And there's still angry people that are back there, like, this is what I wanted. The art style is not the same. It's like, yeah, get over it, people. It's feel like that. It's you know, versions never coming back. Let it go.
Like it's the not even Frozen song.
Did you get delayed into this year? And it's like they delayed it again because of something, and it's like not even soon or so. I don't remember. I think it was supposed to come out last year, and then like they delayed it even more. So it's like maybe this year, but if not this year, I honestly don't care because it's like I saw the update and they're making progress by late. It's like, okay, well, it's coming together. That's all that matters. I honestly don't care at this point. Eventually, I will get my strategy RPG. Not the same thing I backed. I don't care. Better than nothing. Is where we're at.
When did this project start?
I want to say 2016, if not like before that. I'd have to look it up.
Because I feel like you've been talking about this for like ever.
It was a long time ago. It's probably before then even. Because it's been a long name. So at one point, it was like, wow, this is Abandonware and it's never happening. And Little Orbit came in. They're like, no, we're going to save it. Unsung Story. Bloopity blarpity. Let's see.
Story is unsung.
September 2016. Oh, it was funded on Kickstarter in early 2014. So yeah, 2014. It's 5 years.
And now it's coming out.
Is it?
Well, I mean, eventually? I don't know. Maybe not.
So Gabe Newell wasn't just right when he said games are hard to make. Easier to fund, harder to make. There you go.
Oh, which reminds me. Psychonauts 2 is supposed to be happening. That was supposed to happen last year, and that got delayed too. So eventually I'll have that.
See, like Chadwick said, Aimless Fantasy. Check us out, aimlesspodcast.com, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Google, wherever that else, and stuff. Anything to say before you sign off for RPG?
Banana ducks.
Is PSN down for either of you or like having maintenance? Because like I don't have the set as my main PS4, so I can't play any of my games right now. It sucks.
I mean, it's working fine for me.
I'm not on any of my PlayStations. So.
Or it's not my primary, so I'm padlocked out of all my games right now. So. And I'm not going to reset it because I don't have to reset it again. So, whatever. Anything to say before we sign off, Tropical?
Nope.
All right, so yeah. Aimless Babble Z. Until you see or hear from us again, we're now spinning off. Devil May Cry.
Make those devils cry.
Oh, I should have said pull my devil trigger. Oh, well, too late.
Oh, my.